Translation: despite your unwillingness to die and your desire to live, even at the cost of honor and prestige, your miserly body will certainly dwindle and deteriorate like an old garment. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The words Kripanasya, Jiji Visho are significant. There are two classes of men. One is called the Kripana, and the other is called the Brahmana. The Kripana, or the miserly man, has no estimation of his material body. But the Brahmana has a true estimation of himself and the material body. The Kripana, having a wrong estimation of his material body, wants to enjoy sense gratification with his utmost strength. And even in old age, he wants to become a young man by medical treatment or otherwise. Dhritarashtra is addressed herein as a Kripana, because without any estimation of his material body, he wants to live at any cost. Vidura is trying to open his eyes to see that he cannot live more than his term and that he must prepare for death. Since death is inevitable, why should he accept such a humiliating position for living? It is better to take the right path, even at the risk of death. Human life is meant for finishing all kinds of miseries of material existence, and life should be regulated that one can achieve the desired goal. Dhritarashtra, due to his wrong conception of life, had already spoiled 80% of his achieved energy. So it behooved him to utilize the remaining days of his miserly life for the ultimate good. Such a life is called miserly because one cannot properly utilize the assets of the human form of life. Only by good luck does such a miserly man meet a self-realized soul like Vidura and, by his instruction, get rid of the nescience of material existence. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Malitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yad Kripatamaham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bebhacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So thank you everyone for coming this morning, and those of you that are listening online, thank you for taking the time to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So as those who've been listening regularly and following this chapter, you've been hearing about the activities of Dhritarashtra and his brother Vidura. Luckily for Dhritarashtra, Vidura has been a great asset, because it's explained that Dhritarashtra was not only physically blind, but he was also spiritually blind. So, therefore, he did so many activities to perpetuate ignorance on behalf of his sons. Therefore, he made a very difficult situation for everyone, including himself. But luckily for him, he has a very saintly brother, Vidura, who, as you've been hearing, has been instructing him as what to do in the human form of life, and not to be, not to squander this human form of life and be a miser. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he's making a few interesting points. So, Srila Prabhupada says there are two categories, you know, the class of men. One is called Kripana, you know, and the other is called Brahmana. So Can anyone tell me what are the qualities of a kripana? Anyone want to volunteer a suggestion? They want to enjoy as much spiritually or materially? Okay.
They want to become young when they're old, any means possible.
Yeah, like Prabhupada says here, they're going to great lengths to try and remain young. He wants to enjoy sense gratification to the utmost strength, and even in old age, he wants to become a young man by medical treatment or otherwise. You know? So there's a very big multi-billion dollar industry, you know, to try and keep people young, you know. So you can get special creams and you can get your skin stretched, you know, so the wrinkles don't show as much, or you can, you know, get hair transplants, or you can, there's a lot of things that people try to do, but it's of no avail, because ultimately it doesn't stop them getting any older.
What came to mind also is a kripana is a person who wants to keep everything for himself and nothing for Krishna.
Okay, very good, very nice. Any other points on kripana?
I think Prabhupada mentioned in the purport that he doesn't utilize his body for the right cause or something like that.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. So kripana is, he misuses his valuable time, his life. So that means it's, if you squander something, then you're wasting, so you're a kripana. Anyone else?
They're very self-centered instead of selfless, like, always sees the world revolve around them.
Yeah, so a very interesting point. Very selfish and think that they're the center of the whole universe, you know, that everything rotates around me, you know. So that is a kripana. Interesting. Srila Prabhupada, he, in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 31, Text 17, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains what is a kripana. Of course, in many of the purports and in his morning walks and lectures, he talks a lot about kripana. So I'll just read this. The word kripana, kripana dhi, is significant in this verse. Dhi means intelligence. Kripana means miserly. Conditioned life is for persons who are of miserly intelligence or who do not properly utilize their intelligence. In the human form of life, the intelligence is developed and one has to utilize that developed intelligence to get out of the cycle of birth and death. One who does not do so is a miser. Just like a person who has immense wealth but does not utilize it. Keeping it simply to see, a person who does not actually utilize his human intelligence to get out of the clutches of Maya, the cycle of birth and death, is accepted as miserly. The exact opposite of miserly is Udhara, very magnanimous, a Brahmana. A Brahmana is called Udhara because he utilizes his human intelligence for spiritual realization. He uses that intelligence to preach Krishna consciousness for the benefit of the public, and therefore he is magnanimous. So very interesting. So Prabhupada said a miserly man is somebody who has a lot of wealth, but he doesn't utilize it properly. So it reminds me of one example in Yorkshire. I met one lady, and she was getting old, you know, and she lived on her own. But, you know, she had accumulated quite a lot of wealth during her life. So she was struggling to do her household, you know, chores and things. But someone told me that, you know, she had like a table with hollow legs, like metal legs. So she used to stuff money up the legs of the table, you know, and she would like put it in unusual places, you know. So someone suggested to her that because she's getting old and she maybe need a little help and she's living on her own, that maybe she could use some of the money to pay someone, you know, kind person that will come and be a home help, you know, and help her. But she didn't want to part with her money, you know? So she just wanted to remain up the table legs, you know. So I was thinking, you know, like, you know, she's keeping it all there, but she may have the money, she may have the wealth, but if you cannot utilize it for a good purpose, even for your own needs, then what's the use of having it? You know? And ultimately, they leave it behind, you know. They're so attached to this world and this house and this family and this money and so many things, but everyone leaves it behind, you know. So, interesting point. Prabhupada talks about Brahmana. And can anybody tell me what are the qualities of a Brahmana?
Truthfulness, simplicity, austerity.
Truthfulness?
Simplicity, austerity.
Okay. Cleanliness, yeah. Okay, so you're going to keep the ashram clean, yeah?
Compassion.
Yeah, compassion. Any others? Okay, so anyone else?
Sharing knowledge.
Forgiveness, okay. But simplicity, yeah. So amazing, some being a good guy, yeah.
And they work for the welfare.
Okay, so they're not selfish. They work for others. Okay, so here, this is a quote from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text number 42. So Krishna is explaining. Shama damastapa sochyam shanti rajavam evacha jnanam vijnanam astakyam brahmakarma subhavajam. This is peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which the brahmanas work. So very nice. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. And these are the natural qualities. So if you come across somebody who has these qualities and similar qualities, then you're a very lucky person because you have the association of saintly, you know, somebody that is not a kripana, not a miser, but actually a brahmana. And the brahmanas, what does Brahmana mean? It means like somebody who is in knowledge of the Supreme Brahman. You know, Supreme Brahman is Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth. So one time I saw at some event this kind of Indian gentleman. He was wearing a nice suit, you know, and then over his suit he was wearing his Brahman thread. You know, because, you know, I'm a Brahman, you know. Like that. So, you know, but actually if you analyze the activities of that person, you see that actually they don't have any of these qualities, you know. You know, honesty, truthfulness, selflessness, peacefulness. Some people they say, oh, you know, if you're born in a Brahmin family, then you are, you know, you're Brahmin, automatically Brahmin, you know. But actually, Srila Prabhupada was criticized for making his Western disciples, you know, who were previously, you know, coming from a different culture, and some of them were hippies and what have yous before, but he was giving them Brahman initiation. So he was criticized very strongly in India by smarter Brahmins and many, many people. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's method was that anyone can become a Brahmana, become a Vaishnava, if they know the science of Krishna. You know? So, just like... Once Srila Prabhupada, he was at an airport in America when he arrived, and he had many disciples there. So the reporters were there, and they were asking him, Swamiji, you know, we've heard that many yogis and swamis come from India, and they have some tricks and magic that they do, you know. Do you have any kind of, can you do some magic, you know? He says, yes, he pointed to all of his disciples. He says, before, they were very unhappy and very unclean and unhealthy and living an abominable lifestyle. He says, but now they've taken to Krishna consciousness wholeheartedly and they have become very clean and very healthy and very effulgent. And they were hippies, but now they are happies. You know? Yeah, so, and he said, that is my magic, that is my trick, you know. You know, somebody, they, you know, pull out some apples or, you know, put some ashes from their hand or, you know, they do a few, you know, magic tricks, you know. That doesn't make them God, you know. It doesn't, it's like, there's so many magicians, you know, and they do some amazing things. And even our Janakinath can do card tricks and he can do this and that, you know. But that doesn't make him God, you know. And Once Tamil Krishna Maharaj, he in Fiji, he gave a lecture and he got pictures of all demigods and different people. And he was asking in the audience, you know, who do you think is God? And someone said, oh, I think, you know, this yogi, you know, he's God, you know. And I won't give any names, but he had fuzzy hair, you know. And he said, Maharaj said, Tamil Krishna Maharaj said, why do you think he's God? He said, well, ashes can come out from his picture and, you know, he can create some little bit of gold and he can cure people and things like that. So Maharaj said, okay, so in the hospital, do they not cure people there? Does that mean they're God also? And in the fireplace, you find ashes, you know, like that. You know, you know, and how much gold can he produce? Can he produce a mountain of gold, you know? So then he said, no, well, he can only do a little bit. You know? So to be God, you have to have all, Sad Aishwarya Purna, all six opulences in full completeness, you know. Not that you have some wealth, you have all wealth, you know. Not you have some strength, you have all strength, you have all the qualities, you know. And so he was explaining, so, you know, you get these kind of people. So, to be a Brahmana, like in Krishna consciousness movement, people outside are criticizing. But actually, Prabhupada said, somebody who is in knowledge of the supreme absolute truth and they're following the Vedic literature, they are actually Brahmana. Brahmana means one who is in knowledge of the supreme Brahman. You know, otherwise it's just a show. You know, so many people they get a genoi, a Brahman thread. You know, but. To be one of the symptoms of a Brahmana, like you say, is truthfulness, satyam. So one has to be situated in truth, otherwise there's no question of approaching the absolute truth, param satyam. You know? So there's so many qualities are there. But actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process is so wonderful that anyone from any background, and even a degraded condition, can become a very highly elevated soul. You know? So we're seeing here that Vidura, he was the son of a Shudrani, you know? And you know he was not given permission to be ruling the kingdom because of his birth, but actually that didn't stop him from being a saint, you know, from being a great soul. You know? So. Okay, so here I've just got a couple of points, interesting things. So let's see. So Prabhupada writes in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Text 1, that human life means voluntarily accepting suffering for the advancement of spiritual life. So voluntarily accept suffering means that you perform austerities and penances in order to attain divine life. After attaining divine life, one can enjoy eternal happiness. As long as one is engaged encaged in the material body, he has to suffer different kinds of misery. So we should act according to superior advice in order to attain eternal happiness and go back home, back to Godhead. So there's a beautiful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, and I will just read that verse for you. Yeah, it's 5.5.2. Mahatsevam dvara mahar vimukte tamo dvaram yoshitam sanghi sangam mahantaste samachita prashanta. You know, we've got prashant here, you know. Vimanaya vasurida sadavoye. So I'll read some of the translation. So one can attain the path of liberation from material bondage only by rendering service to highly advanced spiritual personalities. And it explains that these personalities, they are very peaceful and they are fully engaged in devotional service. They are devoid of anger and they work for the benefit of everyone. They do not behave in any abominable way, and such people are known as Mahatmas. There is Kripanas or Duratmas, the misers or, people that are not utilizing the human form of life in the best possible way. And then there's Mahatmas and Brahmanas, So very, very interesting. The next verse here, Rishabdev Maharaj, he's instructing his sons. He's saying, Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma yadindriyai pritaya apnanoti nasadu manyaya atmanoyam ashanapi akleshada sadeha. When a person considered sense gratification the aim of life, he certainly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. He does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already achieved a body which, although temporary, is the cause of his misery. Actually, the living entity should not have taken on a material body, but he has been awarded the material body for sense gratification. Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ji Ki Jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shri Gaunitai Ki Jai. So, therefore, I think it not befitting an intelligent man to involve himself again in the activities of sense gratification by which he perpetually gets material bodies one after another. So this is Rishabdev Maharaj, and he is instructing his sons, So this material body, it's explained, is a symptom of our diseased condition. Because as long as you have the material body, then it has to undergo, janma mritu jara vyadi, like that. Birth, old age, disease and death, So nobody wants to grow old, but they're forced to grow old. Nobody wants to get disease, but they get disease. Just now the situation in the world with this COVID-19, So nobody is hankering for that, But it's forced upon them, So unwill, So these, and then ultimately death, So Vidura is instructing Dhritarashtra, in the earlier verses, he's saying, your teeth are falling out, and, you can't see and your liver is bad and your body's falling apart, And you're hanging around like a dog, in the home of the people that you tried to kill and you tried to destroy their lives, but they're so kind, they're treating you, they're feeding you, So then Vidura here is instructing Dhritarashtra, he's saying now, you've spent 80% of your life, you've only got 20% of your energy left. Now, do something useful, you know. Go and practice your Krishna consciousness and perform austerity and prepare to leave this body. You know? So, if somebody has been given a notice that they have to leave the house, you know, their tenancy is up. So, an intelligent person will think, okay, well, I have to leave, so therefore, maybe I should pack up my stuff and minimize the things I have, and also maybe make some arrangement about where else to go, you know. But an unintelligent person, he'll hang on, cling on till the last day, and the bailiffs come and they throw all his stuff out on the street along with him. You know? So, as the Vedic system is that as one gets older, then one is meant to cultivate more and more detachment, because ultimately we will be forcibly detached from this body. Because that's the law of nature, you know. So either we prepare for it voluntarily, so then it's easy, you know. Because if you have to move house, but you've already packed up your stuff and you're ready to go, then it's much easier. But if you haven't made any endeavor and you've been just in denial and just clinging on, and when you're kicked out, then it's more painful, you know. So I think many people they're so, like, we've been going to different congregation members who have been practicing Krishna consciousness for quite a long time, and they're coming up to retirement and things. So we were saying to some of them, well, you know, after, you know, you've done your different duties in life, the children are grown up, you know, your mortgage is paid off, or you're coming up to retirement, you know, so and you're practicing Krishna consciousness. Now, are you going to leave home, you know, and take vanaprast, or are you going to take sannyas? And many of them, you know, they're shaking at the thought of that, you know. So, because they say, well, the scriptures are okay, but, you know, I like this part of the scripture, but not this part. You know? No, but the thing is, so I was saying to some of those, they're very wonderful people. I said, look, you've been very successful, you know. You've held down a job, you've been responsible, you've brought up your children, you've done your duties in life, and you know, you chant, you serve, you know. Now the next chapter is coming. How are you going to prepare for that, you know? So either you leave home and you go on pilgrimage and you go holy places and you become more detached from worldly life and prepare for leaving this body, or it will be forced upon you and then you'll be ripped out, you know, which is painful. So saying, okay, well, if you're not going to go and take vanaprastha or sannyas, then do something, preach, you know, because that preaching is so powerful that actually it can purify, you know. So me and Sutapa were trying to encourage some of these wonderful devotees to actually go and meet, knock on other people's doors and tell them something about Krishna consciousness, and therefore, when they're preaching, then it's fine. Either you perform great austerity, or you spread the mission, the Sankirtan mission, you know. You've got to do one or the other, you know. Otherwise, you'll be lost, you know. So, a couple of other things. Okay, here we go. Okay, so about saintly, it's saying in the purport that only by good luck does such a miserly man meet a self-realized soul like Vidura, and by his instruction he gets rid of the nescience of material existence. So here, I've got some nice, it's called Bhavad Vidha Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibhu Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Santa Stena Gadabrita. And this is from Srimad Bhagavatam 1:13:10. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart and you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. So, Very, very interesting. Like a holy person's, it says that like many people, they go to the Ganga and they bathe and they leave their sins. So what happens to those sins? It's explained that when highly advanced, very amazing transcendental personalities, they go there and they bathe in the holy places like the Ganga, they actually purify those sins. You know, so there's some very, very beautiful verses. Actually, this reminds me of one pastime that Krishna had with Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. So when Krishna was a young boy, Nanda Maharaj was going to make a pilgrimage to Prayag, you know, and Varanasi. And Mother Yashoda baked some, made some nice samosas and put them in a bag for Nanda Maharaj so he can have them on his journey. And so Krishna was saying to Nanda Maharaj, you know, you're going to Prayag to bathe, you know, why are you going there? He said, because, you know, I have to work and do so many things and we incur some sinful reactions and so I'm going to, on pilgrimage to purify myself, you know. So then Krishna says, can I have one of the samosas? He says, well, he said, I'd love to give them to you, but, you know, Mother Yashoda has made them for me for the journey. I need them on the, for the journey. So, okay. And so Krishna was thinking, well, I could do it one or more of those samosas. So... So then they were at a place called Pavan Sarovara in Vrindavan. Have you been to Pavan Sarovara? Anyone? No, it's a beautiful place. There's one amazing kund. So then Krishna did some magic there. So what happened is, as they were walking by Pavan Sarovara, there's some celestial, very beautiful, like, beings were there on the banks of Pavan Sarovara, like very effulgent beings. So then Nanda Maharaj was saying, I wonder who that is, you know. So Krishna said, let's go and ask them. So they went over to this effulgent personality and said, who are you, my dear sir? And he said, I am Prayag Raj. I am the personification of Prayag. And he said, well, what are you doing here? So he said, so many people come to Prayag and they come to purify and they leave all their sins there. And I come here and bathe here and do some bhajan here at Pavan Sarovara to purify myself. So then they saw like Ganga Devi and Yamuna Devi and so many different saintly, like amazing personalities who are there have come to Pavan Sarovara because Krishna performs his pastimes there. So then Nanda Maharaj is scratching his head. He said, why am I going to Prayag when the personality of Prayag is coming here to purify himself? So he says, Krishna, okay, you can have the samosas. I don't need the bag of samosas. I don't need to go there. I'm fine here. You know? So, beautiful. And then, there's a couple of like, stories, Srila Prabhupada. I was hearing some Prabhupada memories, and Srila Prabhupada was with Brahmananda Maharaj. He wasn't Maharaj, and he was just Brahmananda. This was in Matchless Gifts. I think in September we went there to Matchless Gifts, right, in New York. You remember? Yeah, so it's a very small kind of shop front, you know. And so Srila Prabhupada had asked Allen Ginsberg to try and take this manuscript of Bhagavad Gita and find a publisher because Allen Ginsberg used to, you know, get his poems published. But after 6 months, he didn't get anywhere. He couldn't find anyone to publish the manuscript of Bhagavad Gita. So then Prabhupada gave it to Rai Ram, who was the editor of Back to Godhead then. And after a couple of months, he didn't manage to achieve it either. So then Prabhupada took the manuscript of Bhagavad Gita and gave it to Brahmananda and said, can you find a publisher that will publish this? Because we don't have enough money to print it ourselves, but the Bhagavad Gita needs to be printed. And I've gone to so much trouble to compile this, you know. So Brahmananda was thinking, well, okay, I'll try this publisher, this one. And then a month went by, nothing was happening. And no one was really interested in Bhagavad Gita. But then a letter came through the door and it was asking for a record of the Happening album that they had made. So they would generally post it. And so Prabhupada told him, this one's from somebody in the Macmillan Company, you know, an accountant in the Macmillan Company wants a record. So Prabhupada said, don't post it. You take the record and personally deliver it to this person. And Brahmananda Maharaj said, oh, shall I take the manuscript with me? Prabhupada said, no, don't take the manuscript. He said, shall I take some of your other books? He said, no, you just go. So then Brahmananda put his nice suit on and everything. He went uptown, you know, and he was thinking, well, okay. Then he went to the big company. Macmillan was a massive, you know, world-famous publisher and printer. So he went up into the skyscraper and then he met this accountant and he said, oh, I've got the record for you that you wanted. And he said that, then he realized, oh, this is just, he's just an accountant. He's not any big guy, you know. He just wanted a record. So he's not going to be any use, you know. But just then, through the office of the accountant, somebody walked through and the accountant said, oh, let me introduce you. This is the chief editor, you know, of, you know. So, and the chief editor, he said hello to Brahmananda. So Brahmananda took the opportunity. He said, I've got one Bhagavad Gita that I want to publish, you know. Would you be interested? So this man, the chief editor, he said, you have Bhagavad Gita? He said, really? He said, I've been looking for a Bhagavad Gita. He said, in our religious section, we've got Quran, and we've got some Buddhist literature, we've got this, we've got that, but I don't have a Bhagavad Gita. So Brahmananda Maharaj, Brahmananda said, well, my spiritual master has compiled this. He said, oh, it's done here in New York by some Swami. He said, yeah. He said, I'll take it. I'll publish that. He said, you want to see it? He said, just, I'll do it, you know. So then Brahmananda, he was running back. He was dancing all the way back to Srila Prabhupada. And when he arrived at Srila Prabhupada's place, Prabhupada was very calm and peaceful. And Brahmananda was all excited. He said, oh, you know, the Macmillan Company, they want to publish the Bhagavad Gita. They're looking for a Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada said, yes, that's nice. So Prabhupada, he knew everything. He was like so amazing. And then one time there was one servant. He wanted to get Prabhupada's slippers and keep them for himself as a blessing. So he looked at the slippers that Prabhupada had in Mayapur, and he went and bought the exact same size and the make and everything. So then he put the slippers outside Prabhupada's room, and he kept the other ones. So Prabhupada came out, put the slippers on, and he went to the temple room, and then he came back, and normally he would leave the slippers outside his room and then go in. But this time what Prabhupada did was he just went into his room when he came back from temple, took the slippers into his room. So they were thinking, oh, he doesn't normally do that. So then Prabhupada sent one sannyasi to see this servant. And the sannyasi had a message. He said, Srila Prabhupada would like to thank you for the new pair of slippers. And he says, you can keep the old pair, you know. He says, but he says that don't try and trick the spiritual master. So that the great souls, they know what's happening. You know? So we're very fortunate to get the association of so many great souls through the literature of Srimad Bhagavatam, through the teaching of Srila Prabhupada, and so many Vaishnava acharyas that we are very, very fortunate indeed. You know, and I'm just going to finish with something from, it's a song, it's called E Boro Karuna Koro. E Boro Karuna Koro Vaishnav Gosai Patita Pavana Toma Abino Kehonai. So the translation is, O Vaishnav Goswami, please be merciful to me. Now there is no one except you who can purify the fallen souls. Where does anyone find such a merciful personality by whose mere audience all sins go far away? After bathing in the waters of the sacred Ganges, many times one becomes purified, but just by your sight, the sight of you, the fallen souls are purified, and this is your great power. So many people are worried at this time about, you know, getting ill and dying and so many other things. So this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, Manasa deho geho jokichu mor arpilu tua pade nanda kishor. Sampade vipada jivane marane daya mama gela tuo pada barne. Marobi rakobi jo icha tohar nitya das prati tua adhikari. Saying, mind, body, and family, whatever is mine, I have surrendered at the lotus feet of the youthful son of Nanda. In good fortune or in bad, in life or in death, all my difficulties have disappeared by choosing those feet of yours as my only shelter. Slay me or protect me as you wish, for you are the master of your eternal servant. You know? So some beautiful prayers in the Vaishnava Acharyas there. So we can learn from that and imbibe them in our life and be happy and peaceful and successful. So thank you very much for your attention and your time. Sorry for running over time. Okay, we won't have any questions unless you... Oh, if anybody wants to ask any question or make any comment, they're welcome.